Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Fast Growing Trees. Did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with thousands of different plants and over 2 million happy customers? They have all the plants your yard needs, like fruit trees, privacy trees, flowering trees, shrubs, and so much more. Whatever plants you're interested in, Fast Growing Trees has you covered. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to get your dream yard. Order online and get your plants delivered directly to your door in just a few days without ever leaving home. Their Alive and Thrive guarantee ensures your plants arrive happy and healthy. Plus, get support from trained plant experts on call to help you plan your landscape, choose the right plants, and learn how to care for them. I'm very excited about Fast Growing Trees. I think sometimes like thinking about how to plant in your yard can be daunting and overwhelming because you don't know what to do and you don't know how to do it. But this is a really great way to try and learn. You don't have to go to a nursery and feel like you're not sure what you're doing. You can just go with Fast Growing Trees and you know they have the guarantee. So check it out. And this spring, they have the best deals for your yard, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get 15% off their first purchase when using the code LOVEIT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LOVEIT at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code LOVEIT. Now's the perfect time to plant. It's spring. Use LOVEIT to save today. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Hey, everybody, I want to tell you about a podcast from New York Magazine called Pivot. It's hosted by tech journalist Kara Swisher and NYU business professor Scott Galloway. Every Tuesday and Friday, Kara and Scott break down the week's major stories in tech, business, and politics. You can expect razor-sharp insights, bold predictions, and yes, a lot of bickering and bantering. It's one of my favorite shows personally. Kara's an old friend of mine, and I even got to jump in this week and co-host an episode of Pivot with her while Scott was on vacation. I think you'll really enjoy the show. Pivot is a great part of my routine. I highly recommend it. You can listen and follow Pivot with Kara Swisher and Scott Galloway wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube. Everybody, welcome to a special episode of Love It or Leave It. Here's the deal. We were supposed to be off this week, but we just made Love It or Leave It ads-free for Friends of the Pod subscribers, and we thought we can't just go dark in the week when Love It or Leave It goes ads-free. That'd be crazy. Even better, for the month of April, you can sign up for Friends of the Pod and get a 30-day free trial. It's the best way to support this show and Crooked Media. With your subscription, you get access to exclusive content, ad-free episodes of Love It or Leave It, Pod Save the World, Pod Save America, and Offline. Enjoy all the great content with no commitment. Speaking of no commitment, I don't know if that doesn't make any sense. Nish is here. I don't know what that means.
Speaking of no commitment,
no strings attached.
All right,
you don't get enough credit for your transition.
Oh, I'm seamless. Like butter over here.
Over to you, Elijah.
Right. Great to be here for our Terminally Online Love It or Leave It ad-free bonanza crossover show. I'm here. Love It or Leave It writer Hallie Kiefer is here. Hi, Hallie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Pod Save the UK host Nish Kumar is here. Hi, Nish.
And famous commitment five.
Yeah.
Ooh, does that feel accurate? How do you feel? Does that strike you?
I've been in an entirely monogamous relationship for 13 years.
All right.
It's actually the only thing I can say that I'm decent at is commitment.
It really is a transition that would work better if Nish was a cad.
Yeah.
Ooh, international
scamp.
Cad.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think I'm one of the least caddish people that's ever lived. I've not put up strong numbers, is what I would say.
I do associate cads with being British. I feel like over here it's just we just got fuck boys, and there's no class to that.
Yeah, we don't have enough fops either.
No.
No, yeah, we've got cads, we've got fops. We've also got fuckboys as well. We've got, there's a huge diversity in the different type of assholes we're able to
provide. It's a gorgeous country. Mm-hmm. You got going over there.
It's part of the special relationship.
The fuckboy exchange between our countries.
Now there's going to be a tariff on fuckboys. Oh, now we're going to be paying an extra 20% just to get a fuckboy into this country.
You're going to pay so much more money on Hugh Grant.
Yeah, and now domestic fuckboys, they're going to hike the prices.
So this is a special crossover episode with our subscription show, Terminally Online. It's a format we all like. We figured we'd do it for the Love It or Leave It this week. It's a in-part behind-the-scenes show. Nish, you are a Crooked Media host currently on tour here in America. Take us behind the scenes.
Oh.
Have you found anything unexpected while touring in America during Trump 2.0?
I mean, it was, I will say, the... I'm not interacting with a broad section of the American populace at my comedy shows. It turns out there's not a huge crossover between fans of obscure British comedians and voters for the Donald. And mainly people have sort of just broadly been apologising to me for the state of the country. But I just, I don't think as a British person you particularly want to get into apologising. I think once you pull at that thread, there's nothing. No. There's nothing left to go on.
Next thing, the Ashmolean is empty, and then there's nothing for people to look at in there.
Well, there you have it.
The tour has been a lot of fun.
Oh, great. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear it. We'll love it for your behind the scenes. We just won a Supreme Court seat in Wisconsin. You were there a lot. How was your experience in Wisconsin? You were going to knock at doors.
So I just want to say, now that we have won the election, I can now tell all of you that if we lost, I think we really were totally fucked in a pretty universal way.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, it's not that, you know, Elon Musk was out there saying that this was a civilizational election. I'm not sure that's true, but I do think it would have made the next year pretty bleak if even in this environment, we couldn't manage to protect abortion access and stop a right-wing judge from rigging elections after Elon Musk dropped $25 million or more in that race. It's in hindsight, right, knocking on doors, and I talked about this before, Elon Musk did make himself the main character, not just on the news, but in just conversationally, he was someone people were bringing up. And not just the Democrats. We were there kind of turning out the vote. It wasn't just Democrats, but even the independents we met. They were like, Elon Musk, they're setting Teslas on fire. It's a lot of money. What's he doing here? What's going on? It just was on people's minds. And it's one election, but like this is a rejection of that. Or at the very least, what you can say pretty definitively is that $25 million, which is an insane amount of money to drop on one statewide race in Wisconsin, it's not California, it's not New York, it's Wisconsin, is not enough to overcome the underlying dynamics. And so when you have a swing of plus 15 or more in Republican House races in Florida, combined with the fact that Elon's money didn't make a difference in Wisconsin and could very well have hurt, that's enough to tell you that Republicans, especially from the more moderate districts, are in real trouble. And it's going to make voting for a Republican reconciliation package to cut taxes for billionaires and millionaires and cut services for people a much tougher pill to swallow. So I think the Republican political job of getting that bill over the finish line got a lot harder. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah. I it's always dangerous when I get into political analyst mode, but people forget that like Doge was like a very late thing. And Elon Musk being part of the administration was like a very late thing. It's not like something they campaigned on. And there's something fundamentally American about telling the richest man in the world to go fuck himself.
Absolutely.
It was pretty cool.
Absolutely.
That we did that in Wisconsin.
I do. My thing about it was like him sort of like, you know, sort of blaming George Soros in the lead up to all this. And it was like, first of all, you're so much richer than George Soros. And it's like, well, maybe it, like the idea that this it was him versus George Soros. It's like, well, maybe George Soros, maybe our side won because George Soros wasn't out here jumping around, fucking humiliating himself.
Wearing a cheese hat.
Like, I'm like, do you like and that's I feel bad. I don't feel bad. But it's just sort of like interesting that like he's going to be around because he has nothing else but this. Like he's going to be in every state. It's going to be he will not learn anything from this because he's not capable of it. So we're just going to have to see his influence. And my hope is that a lot of people will see this sweaty fucking loser and understand like this is not a compelling representative for conservatives or whatever he thinks he represents. And so that was nice. I thought that was satisfying.
Yeah.
I was actually, I did a show in Madison, Wisconsin on Sunday night, and I made some pretty choice remarks about Elon. So I guess what I'm saying is, you're welcome, America.
Hell yeah.
The Nish bump.
Thank you, Nish. Hell yeah.
The 250 comedy nerds in Madison, at the Majestic in Madison.
Hey, it didn't hurt.
It was the swing vote.
Didn't hurt.
You know, your Quibi show that I was on is called Hello America, and its follow-up that sadly can't exist because Quibi doesn't exist could have been You're Welcome America.
Yep. All right, well, thanks for protecting Small B and George Soros, and way to go, Wisconsin. Let's move on to Termly Online. If you're unfamiliar, it's a segment where we share kind of how when we were two online each week, we'll rate everyone on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being you're fine, you can deal with it at home, 5 being you're terminal. So love it. When were you two online this week?
So I saw a video, and the second I saw it, I understood why it existed, even though the poster is famous for a kind of subtle, a velvet glove, right? A fist inside of a velvet glove. So I love the content that Meghan Markle produces. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Nish.
OG fan.
For anything
number
you
one
did
fan.
To,
welcome, America. We did it. So, we booted those people out for your good.
We're gobbling it up over here.
I think they self-deported, but the content is fantastic. Mm-hmm. The show is amazing. I love watching someone move peanut butter pretzels from a bigger bag to a smaller bag.
You finally learned how to make popcorn, so that's good.
You learn how to make popcorn. It's excellent. But in the first episode, Meghan makes a one-pot pasta. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, like, I think one-pot recipes are the best. If you were to look in my Google history, and I hope you never do, mixed in between, you know, the various sexual searches.
How do sex good?
How do
priest,
sex?
Priest with a flat tire, that kind of thing. I don't know. But you would find one-pot recipes. Love one-pot recipes. So I watched that recipe, and I actually thought, you know what? I'm going to maybe make a version of this one-pot recipe. Meghan Markle, you taught me something. And then I go on TikTok, and I see this.
So here's a recipe that has taken the internet by storm. Everybody wants to make the one-pot pasta. You add your 12 ounces of linguine. Add one onion, which is peeled and very thinly sliced, 12 ounces of cherry tomatoes, 4 cloves of garlic. I'm going to put a little garlic here, a little garlic there, 1/4 teaspoon of freshly cracked black pepper, 2 teaspoons of salt, and 4.5 cups of water, sprigs of basil, sort of stick them in there, onto the stove, bring to a boil. And you'll be stirring this constantly. And you're going to have an amazing, delicious pasta. It is fragrant, and it is well-cooked, and it is just ready to eat. Put it right in your bowl. Is that enough for you?
So play it from the very, just play the first line of it again.
So here's a recipe that has taken the internet by storm. Everybody
That's
wants...
That's it. Here's a recipe that's taken the internet by storm. Everyone wants to make my one-pot pasta. And I saw it, and I just, first of all, that I didn't, it wasn't that I was, when I
that's
watched.
That's Martha Stewart for listeners, yes, just
for,
so you know. That's
for listeners, that is Martha Stewart. Clearly, people had mentioned to her, whether she saw it online or in real life, I don't know. But it got back to Martha that Meghan Markle, in the first episode of her show, where she's meant to be a Martha Stewart-like figure, she's making a fucking Martha Stewart pasta. And what does Martha Stewart do? She just, in that perfect Martha Stewart way, says, everybody is talking about my one-pot pasta. Everybody wants to make my one-pot pasta. Let me show you how a fucking pro does it. And that's the Martha Stewart I love. That's the Martha Stewart that I watched when I was a child to live inside of the fantasy. And that's the Martha Stewart I still believe was wronged by who? James Comey.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And this is where I want to come back to. Because Martha Stewart went to jail, not for insider trading, but for lying about a crime they couldn't prove, a crime that would have been over $5,000. This woman is a fucking billionaire. She blows $5,000 just walking by a Williams-Sonoma. She doesn't care about $5,000. That is nothing. She would throw $5,000 in the garbage.
Oh, that's a dog's birthday to her.
It's a
little outfit for one of those giant dogs she's got.
And yet, James Comey decided that even though he couldn't prove that she had committed insider trading, he was going to get her on lying about a crime she didn't commit. And that James Comey is the same fucking guy that also decides in another novel way to go in front of the cameras and publicly indict Hillary Clinton. And isn't it amazing that two of the most famous examples of women being torn down by the government in novel and interesting ways are both by this 6'7" fucking menace, James Comey. And when Martha Stewart went to jail, she was treated like fucking dog shit, that she had deserved it because she was rich and she was bossy. and she was tough, and it was a powerful woman laid low at a time when everybody was patting themselves on the back for America being post-sexism because James Bond was allowed to punch women.
I'm going to Google that.
James Bond punching a woman.
I'm sorry. You were cooking, love it. I'm sorry.
But
we can come back.
The point being, Martha Stewart, when she went to jail, she lost that perfection that she was known for, right? They took that from her. And it was wrong. It was wrong what happened to Martha Stewart. It was wrong. But you know what? It made her tougher and more interesting. And it led to this Martha Stewart, the Martha Stewart that goes on TikTok to just delicately, as if removing the meat from a fine soul, to destroy any comers. And I appreciated that. And that's what I saw. That's what I felt when I saw this brief moment of her saying, everybody's talking about my one pot pasta. Thank you.
It's Olympic levels of passive aggression.
Yes.
I love it.
I absolutely love it.
It's so elegant in its contempt.
Yeah, I feel like as an American, Martha Stewart represents both the fantasy and also she's put in decades of work, right? So she has that behind her. So I feel like the people who we allow to cook food are either someone like that, someone like an Ina Garten, where like they've spent decades, Nigella across the pond. You know, someone where
big
it's like
Nigella fan.
Exactly. I mean, we all are. It's sort of someone who's been at it, or a completely insane person where this is the first time, but they're like bubbly personality, like almost like a TikTok star, like like a real. We're gonna allow that,
like Julia Child,
yes,
like someone like that.
Someone's
like
more of a character.
Yeah,
Meghan Markle to me, it's like a million people can make that pasta. I need Meghan Markle to be funnier, and that's not why she's here. That's not what she's doing. But I'm like. As you're saying this, like the other thing is also like Martha Stewart's genuinely very funny. And I feel like other than this, the last time I saw her was like a series of interviews. She was like, man, I cannot find a decent man to fuck me. Like I'm out here. Like she's posting thirst traps. She's like, I am looking for a man. And I really respect that. It's like, she's been around so long. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. You do what you need to do.
Give yourself a little treat and watch a compilation of the moments where Martha Stewart is getting absolutely roasted by Miss Piggy.
Oh, yes, I've seen that. Incredible.
Miss Piggy would go on the Martha Stewart show and absolutely rip Martha Stewart to bits, and it is a fucking delight. Just two queens.
I like you're describing this like Miss Peggy's like she's making her own decision here.
Again, much like the protégé, as far as I know, she is.
Yeah,
I don't even know what
Miss
Peggy's
deal is. Not sure what you're saying. I guess what I would say is she's a puppet. Right.
Elijah, I don't even hear this from you right now.
Hey, nobody cared. Nobody cared about Jim Henson until he put on the mask.
Right. Look, I'm sorry. I'm just like getting side triggered by like a genre of post that's like, we need to give Superman more credit for how he fought Batman in this clip. And I'm just like, he's fake. He's not real. And so you're getting side aggression from something I'm experiencing. And that's not right.
A friend of mine watched the Meghan Markle show and said, I can't think of anything that more clearly feels like fiddling while Rome burns.
Yeah.
At this time in American history, to have a whole show that's about a rich person cooking quite basic food in a millionaire's house that's not the actual millionaire's house that they live in, but is a rented one for the purposes of making a TV show. It all feels a little bit let them eat one pot pasta.
It really could be called pottering around with Meghan Markle. Looking for things to do. She in the opening episode, she harvests honey. With a beekeeper. And it's a small detail, but she is wearing a pristine, out-of-the-box, white beekeeper's outfit. And it's like, hey,
white.
Dirty it up. At least pretend.
Get some honey on it.
At least pretend you know who these bees are. At least pretend you know these fucking bees. It is crisp, clean.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of discourse in the UK at the moment about whether... You know, because there was a sense that they were driven out of the country, you know, on account of racism of the British state. And now I read a couple of things online and from the British press about like, well, we always knew. And you're like, two things can be true
at once. Yeah.
You can be the victim of racism and be a complete dickhead. I am living proof that it is possible to be both a complete piece of shit and the victim of racist abuse.
I would watch you collect honey. I would watch you make a one pot pasta dish. Like, I only feel like it's just a little, you bring a little joie de vivre. I feel like we love rich people so much. We hate beautiful women, but we will allow them to do certain things. They either have to be funny or they have to bring us into our life. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like Ina Garten's husband, my husband's coming home. Oh, Jeffrey. She's like, I refuse to give you anything. And there's something I admire about it, but I'm also not going to watch it.
Oh, I'm going to watch it.
Yes.
I'm going
to
watch it.
Well, there's an audience. And just to cycle back, now, it depends on what you mean by hitting a woman, but Roger Moore does slap a woman in The Man with the Golden Gun, which was quite a while ago.
I am thinking of Pierce Brosnan fighting and I believe Die Another Day.
Okay.
Is what I'm remembering. I believe he fights Madonna with a sword.
He does. He fences with Madonna.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is what comes to mind for me.
As it should.
Well, listen, Bezos has got hold of James Bond now. So the next movie is going to be him fighting unionizing Amazon workers and fucking
absolutely.
Alexa.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you see that Amazon just put a bid in to buy TikTok?
Great.
But it makes sense because TikTok, which is actually ties into my video, where it's like TikTok is just a store now. And occasionally then you get interesting videos around it. So it makes like an Amazon button on TikTok. That makes total sense.
Right.
Finally, I can watch a viral recipe and then be served an ad for how to buy something called like Nawumbi paper towels.
Is that what you're getting? I feel like I'm getting just like ass leggings. And it's like, have you ever thought about how your ass is a mess? Like, give the illusion of an ass as in one piece of these leggings, like a, you know, Trump Loy ass and leggings.
I'm getting increasingly Baroque videos of basically people setting up for themselves human cages to sleep in at night.
That basically, okay, this is intriguing.
That people are setting up their, like, they're binding and taping their faces. They're sleeping with things in their mouths.
Oh, yeah,
then they're
yeah.
building little tents inside of their beds. People aren't okay.
No.
This is an effect of, this is the Brian Johnsonification of sleep.
Yes.
Because it's all about the guys who are like obsessed with rejuvenation and the de-aging. Specific sleep is a big part of that. But with Brian Johnson, his sleep schedule precludes him from sharing a bed with another person.
I think that's for the best. I think that is, who would be there? Whoever that is, they're also not doing really well. So I think that's good. Fill the bed.
His son,
of course.
That's the other thing about, like,
if you're familiar with Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he famously came out and said he's measuring his nocturnal erections and then his son's. Yep. I'm like, that should be a crime. Even if your son's an adult, it's like, that shouldn't be allowed.
You must be sent to jail immediately.
Yes.
Well, counterpoint, dudes rock. let's. How online is Love It for this? I mean, the pasta controversy seems like it's part of the core appeal of the show. Like, it's a feature, not a bug. But the passion with which you're talking about James Comey makes me feel like this is a 3. You got to go to the doctor's office.
Yeah, I think I should go to the doctor.
What's 2 again?
You just got the sniffles. You can deal with it at home.
I think 2. I just think Martha Stewart is a heritage American brand. I feel like it is. She's not very online. So I feel like, and Meghan Markle feels like she's never been on the internet. That's part of her power, is that she hasn't been, like, that part of her brain hasn't been destroyed. And so I'm going to say 2. Not too high, though. Not too online.
Yeah, I'll go with 2 as well. I think that there's a lot of old media in the mix here. Martha Stewart and Comey references keep a lot of old media in the mix, that suggests Love It is also still watching broadcast television.
Yeah, this is an analog. I guess I'm having an analog obsession. This is an analog
condition.
That's
good. It's nostalgia. And I also feel like it's we have to cling to something from the past. And I think Martha Stewart is a good thing to cling to.
It does also evoke an era where you reach a certain stage of your career and it was time to launch a magazine that had your name on it and your face on every issue. And that was a beautiful part of it too.
Yeah.
Like, there was the Oprah magazine. There's Martha Stewart Living. There was George, which was always George Washington.
George,
so that's different, I suppose. But I accept my diagnosis.
All right. So Love It's a 2. You got the online sniffles. You can deal with it at home.
We'll be right back with more Love It or Leave It. Love It or Leave It, brought to you by Prolon. Changing up your health routine can be challenging. If you don't have a plan, it can be even more difficult to stick to routine. That is what makes Prolon's 5-day program a total game changer. Prolon provides a clear plan with specific daily meals, making it easy to stay focused and achieve real results. Prolon's fasting mimicking diet is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making cells believe they're fasting. They're confused. Researched and developed for decades at USC's Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps support healthy blood sugar, enhanced skin appearance, fat loss, and improved energy and focus post-fast. It all starts with their 5-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages designed to keep your body in a fasting state. No guesswork or planning required. With Prolon, you get everything you need, prepackaged and ready to go. Each of Prolon's 5-day programs come with 5 boxes labeled so you know what to eat each day. 3 consecutive cycles of Prolon have been shown to reduce your biological age score by an average of 2.5 years and your waist circumference by 1.5 inches. To help kickstart a health plan that truly works, Prolon is offering Love It or Leave It listeners 15% off site-wide, plus a $40 bonus gift when you subscribe to their 5-day nutrition program. Just visit prolonlife.com/loveit. That's prolonlife.com/loveit to claim your 15% discount and your bonus gift, prolonlife.com/loveit.
Hey, it's Tommy from Pod Save America and Pod Save the World. Last year, 2,500 people joined us at CrookedCon for conversations with some of the smartest organizers, least annoying politicians, and most interesting voices in politics to talk about how to fix this mess. Even President Obama made a surprise appearance. We're doing it all again November 5th to 7th in Washington, D.C., with even more podcasts, panels, and workshops. Plus, there'll be drinks, which we'll need after the midterms, no matter which way they go. Get tickets at CrookedCon.com. If you're a friend of the pod, you get a discount too. See you there.
Hallie, what were you doing online this week?
I have a TikTok video. I'm going to call it when we don't have to watch the whole thing because it's quite long. So if we could just take a look at my video and we could discuss.
All right. So while my food is finished cooking, I'm going to give you guys a speed run of the cute winter boots that I found these last few days. So this first pair I found in Tennessee. I really think this is more of a Valentine's Day boot than a winter boot is because it's like it's pink. It's got all these cute little black hearts about it. And the cutest thing, in my opinion, is the aglets. If you guys don't know what an aglet is, you should definitely look it up or look up that Phineas.
All right. I think that's plenty. So basically, the audio you just heard is a young woman on TikTok talking about buying a pair of boots. And at the end, she says, like, you buy it on the TikTok shop, you know. And what she's showing is a series of notebook paper where she has written out, basically, please Google Tennessee SB 602 HB 601, which is a, it's one of those things where the reason I want to bring this up is, like, I read the news all day, every day. But there's a lot of state-level stuff I don't see. And this is the first time I had heard of this bill, which is awful, and I'm going to read what it is. And so what this woman is trying to do is how can I use the fact that TikTok is essentially just a shop to try to boost this into the, you know, essentially this is an ad for these boots. How do I boost this and spread this? And the bill, which has, they both passed. So Tennessee created through this bill, essentially they put aside $5 million to create sort of a separate immigration enforcement division through the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security. Wow. And then basically what they're saying is if you have to go renew your license and you are a legal resident but a non-U.S. citizen, they are only going to give you a temporary license, which visually looks different. And so like if, say, you could prove you're a resident, I'm assuming birth certificate, Social Security card, passport, you get a regular card. If you can't, they give you a temporary one so when somebody looks at it, they can then see it's temporary. And I presume they want to basically create separate IDs in case you're not for, you know, not a citizen. And then it makes it a felony for local officials, such as a county commissioner or city council member, to vote for any policy making any kind of city or town a sanctuary city. So basically, if you are an elected representative in Tennessee, you could be charged with a felony for voting for a sanctuary policy. I didn't hear about any of this. Like, this is just something that I completely missed me. And I don't know if this is just me being online, but it's one of those things where I, unfortunately for work, have to be online. And then I appreciated this young woman's attempt. And the rest of the video is about, like, trans people's passports. It's all about, like, IDs and how they're changing IDs. And I really appreciate that she was trying to do what felt like a unique thing. I've seen people do this with other things, but I hadn't seen it for a specific state law, yeah. Like just to look it up. And so I don't know. I appreciate whether it's effective. I have no idea. I mean, the algorithm does, at least for me on TikTok, is constantly showing me advertisements. So I was like, well, I'm glad this came to me. And maybe it's because I I have purchased something on TikTok and now it knows that about me. So maybe I am getting more of these things, in which case I appreciate the effort. So I don't know if that's online. It's just the only thing I've seen this week where I'm like, oh, I hadn't thought about the layers that this person's trying to access in TikTok.
So I think that that's kind of what's going on, but it's also part of another trend, which is people on TikTok. So this idea of like winter boots, have you seen, like when people say I need to get a pair of winter boots, it is also meant to mean like we need to have a revolution, but we're not allowed to talk about it on TikTok. The content will be downvoted. And the writing it on the paper is a kind of performance of this is dangerous and banned information. And you see people on TikTok making videos of, they're not telling us about the protests happening around the world for America. They're not telling us what's going on. There's no way to find out what's going on. We have to find interesting codes here on TikTok. All of these issues are being talked about. If you, instead of trying to get your news via Chinese algorithm or a tech bro algorithm, you go to newyorktimes.com or a tennesseenewspaper.com or literally just consume news without it being mediated by these wealthy people. All the way of saying is there are people that are like performing that we're already living in an authoritarian state, when in reality what's going on is people are just choosing not to consume a lot of news. And like both things, like I'm not saying this is not a great way to get people to know about what's going on in Tennessee, but also there's a lot of people acting as if TikTok is the only way to get information when there's lots of ways to find out what's going on in the world right now. No, the internet is not preventing us from seeing what's happening. It's just that you are not a news consumer anymore because you have given yourself over to these tech platforms.
That was, thank you for articulating that, because I get so frustrated by what you just described.
So, Lovett and Elijah are very down on TikTok. I thought it was helpful. So, I don't need this rant. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, yes. I work here.
It's not for you. It's not for the listeners of this.
I said something, and instead of responding to what I said, you went on this rant, which I've heard from before from both you and Elijah. I don't need it. I need you to engage with what I said, which is, as someone who does read the news, I'm not going to New York Times. When you say that to me, it's honestly very insulting. You know that I read the news all day.
But it's not
day.
A you. It's not
then
a
who
you.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to the people making these videos that are acting as if this information is not readily available.
I
it
feel
is.
Like I want to have a conversation about what they're doing, and you have a pre-prepared monologue
it's
that you
not
go
prepared.
Into.
But that's, but the thing is, you're saying, oh, I'm saying you're not being served that video because you bought something on TikTok Shop. You're being served that video because the algorithm knows that you are part of a group of people that will respond to content about acting as if we already live in a fascist state, which is exciting and interesting for a subset of people. You are an avid consumer of news. You are different than the people that are acting as if that is the way we need to convey information, but it isn't. The problem is people being on TikTok and thinking that's a way to find out what's going on in the world. It isn't. You know that because you don't consume all your information from TikTok. That's why it's not directed at you.
Why can't it be both? And why can't we talk about the positive parts of TikTok?
I'm
well,
not
we can.
On TikTok.
We, of course on, we can.
I pay a young person who actually understands it to put clips of my stand-up on TikTok. But so I have no dog in this fight, okay? I have no dog whose birthday it may well be in this particular fight. What I would say is you're actually all correct in different ways.
Yes, because, I agree with that.
Yeah. It is worth celebrating because of the amount of particularly younger people who only consume all of their media through things like TikTok and Instagram. It is definitely worth celebrating the idea that whoever this person is has managed to slightly game the algorithm to sneak that information. And even if one or two people who had no concept of that have seen that and engaged with what's happening in Tennessee, then that is a hugely valuable thing. Definitely also the other side of it, which is we need to train people to get information from places other than social media, is a hugely important thing, because there's this sort of pervasive idea now that the biggest problem is that everybody views the internet as a completely impartial source of information. That the old media is owned by oligarchs and the new media is completely democratic, but it isn't. It's just a different form. We've just got slightly fewer oligarchs now. And you know, whether it's an oligarch or the Chinese government, either way, what information you're getting through the internet is still massively filtered through a specific individual's perspective. So like, that's the thing that we definitely like need to break with people. And also there is this very funny, I feel like it's a very specifically British thing, British internet subsect, which is the mainstream media won't cover this story. And then underneath it, there will be a link to the BBC News website.
Right, where did you find out about it? Where did you find out about it?
Such a common trope.
I completely agree. What I'm asking is that we move past the monologue and we move past totally dismissing TikTok. Because I agree.
I'm on it all the time. I'm not totally dismissing TikTok. It was a reaction to what you... I saw that video from you for the first time. It's not a pre-prepared monologue.
Allie, can I offer a way to engage with it?
What do you mean?
Well, for us to move forward with the video you're bringing and bring it into to our work.
Yeah, you could tell me what you're going to say.
I think...
yeah, Elijah, tell me.
Well, we've been making these direct-to-camera, like, for social videos. And what I'm taking away from what you've brought today is that, you know, like, we source things from The Atlantic and The New York Times and Washington Post all the time, is that instead of being like, hey, there's this huge story, love it, now you should be starting these videos off by saying, like, no one is talking about this. And then immediately putting the graphic behind you that says, like, New York Times headline. And that's just how we should do them going forward, because that's the language on the platform.
So everything you're saying is not in this video. The first thing she says is go ahead and Google it. Now, I understand what you're saying, that there is an underlying conspiratorial idea that maybe gets people interested in it. But the idea, I think it's deeply condescending to immediately dismiss using the app in different ways to get out specific ideas. Like, I don't think this person would have said, don't go to the New York Times. This person is just Google it.
I'm not criticizing. I'm saying this is part of a trend, and it's a larger trend. I have no problem with this video. I'm not criticizing the video. I am saying that the part where she is talking about winter boots is a specific, it's not about buying winter boots. It's a specific trend where that is meant to stand in for, we can no longer speak honestly. It is time to foment a revolution, and it's so dangerous to talk about, we have to use the term winter boots. Like, well, that's a real trend.
But I think that trend really is more about trying to use the algorithm. Like, I think, yes, I hear what you're saying, but I'm also like, that is how you do kind of have to use the algorithm. Like, if you want to manipulate the algorithm of an app that is just a store now, that doesn't seem unreasonable. And I think we have to engage with the idea that people are using the apps in this way, and we'll have to. Like, Twitter's unusable. I don't know. It's like, if people are manipulating them, I think that's interesting to talk about rather than immediately dismiss it as conspiracy.
Right. But what I'm saying is they're not doing it because it's not a store thing. It's not trying to game the algorithm around. It's taking the term, it's instilling in the idea of, like, winter boots, this sort of secret knowledge. It's about a secret knowledge that everybody has. And it's a way of kind of performing radicalism without ever doing anything, without leaving your house. You see that here. I'm not saying in this video, but you see that with that trend. You see that with people kind of celebrating Mangione. You see that in a lot of different ways where people are performing a kind of radical chic from their house, where their politics means you can make videos. You don't really have to do anything outside of your house. You don't have to do anything other than consume TikTok. And you are being political. You are being radical, when really everyone is just kind of putting on a little show for each other. And I worry about that. I don't think that's an illegitimate thing to worry about. Even if it is also, as we use every day, these platforms as a great way to inform each other and try to get people to riled up and actually to do things in the world. I don't disagree with that.
I'm interested in everyone's opinion on this, because the UK Labour Party has said this week that there's going to be, like, massive push on getting information into social media, and, like, actually, like, government messaging is going to go through. Is that a waste of their time, or is that valuable? Because is the idea that you should be speaking about these things where people are actively listening? Like, that's the thing that I can't decide whether it's either condescending or patronizing, or it's actually practical to actually start having conversations in places where people are talking right now.
I mean, I think it's practical. I also think, and I don't know what, because every country has, like, different rules around it. I think for me, for example, when you see, like, Amazon's about to buy TikTok, like, then that will automatically change how people receive information through TikTok.
Yeah.
So, like, I think the rapid response videos are great. Yeah. I think meeting people where they're at, I think, is going to be important. And also acknowledging that, like, TikTok is where people get a lot of their information. So, I don't know. I think it is important and, like, practically helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just about how they do it. They have to figure out ways to communicate honestly. And, like, you know, there are good examples and bad examples. Like, I actually am surprised, I'm pleasantly surprised by how much of a reaction there was to Cory Booker holding the floor for 24 hours. I did, like, I thought it was a good thing when I saw that he was doing it. And then I would click in and out. And like, I like Cory Booker, but he can be pretty cheesy. And like, there are cheesy moments. But then like, tons of it is getting clipped, tons of it getting shared. And there is just a hunger out there for people to see politicians actually doing something and taking it seriously and being passionate, in part because a lot of what politics is just doesn't get to those places. And in part because a lot of our politicians haven't done enough and haven't seemed like they cared.
Yeah, it's valuable. It's also, I feel like, a little bit of a misread because you have to be on the platforms. But this is kind of like when everyone was shitting on the @Democrats account for putting up like a big graphic and then they started doing better social media. Well, the problem with reaching low propensity voters isn't the stuff coming from the @Democrats account. It's reaching people through places where they don't normally get political or news information. So you got to do a lot more than that, but it's a good like first step.
Totally.
All right. How online is Hallie? Love it. I think you knowing the winter boots kind of like Hallie's sick. Like she's a 3 in my opinion. This revealed that you actually should be in the hospital at 4.
Yeah, I think Hallie's a 3. I think Hallie is sick, but doesn't necessarily need that much treatment.
I would say there's an interesting thing here because it's almost like there is a bit of online sickness, but at the same time, you got some actual useful use out of it. So it's almost like you had bad diarrhea, but what you pooped out was a tapeworm. So like this,
sure.
Like this,
yeah, sure.
It's like you had an online sickness, but it did have some, like, you knowing about this Tennessee state legislation is positive. So you, I can't think of a better, less disgusting medical analogy than
I mean, it's I'll like, take it. It's, I mean, I think it's the same way that like penicillin comes from mold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's sometimes leeches help.
Yeah. We're all a little healthier for it. Okay, so Hallie's a 3. Love it. Side 4 for knowing that winter boots trend.
We'll be right back after these messages. But before we go to break, a reminder that you can now get Love It or Leave It ad-free and a 30-day free trial when you subscribe to Friends of the Pod at crooked.com/friends or through the Apple Podcast app. Love It or Leave It, brought to you by Quince. If you're planning to go on vacation soon, you should treat yourself to a first-class quality suitcase at an economy price tag from Quince. John just went on a trip.
Yes, I did. And I needed some warm clothing because I saw snow for the first time in a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had a nice sweater from Quince.
Nice.
Mongolian cashmere.
Vacation season is nearly upon us. This year, I'm treating myself to the luxe upgrades I deserve with Quince's high-quality travel essentials at fair prices, like lightweight shirts and shorts from $30, pants for any occasion, and comfortable lounge sets with premium luggage options and durable duffel bags to carry it all. The best part? All Quince items are 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts down on the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. John just talked about it. We love Quince. It's a great place. You can go check it for everyday essentials that are incredibly reasonably priced and really well made. Some great sheets from Quince. When I was shopping, I went to Quince and then I went to a bunch of higher end brands, and side by side, it was like a no brainer. So everybody go to Quince for your next trip. Treat yourself to the luxe upgrades you deserve from Quince. Go to quince.com/loveit for 365 day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's quince.com/loveit to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/loveit.
Nish, what were you two online this week?
Well, I am completely obsessed with Morgan Wallen walking off SNL.
What a dud.
And then,
what a full dud.
And then going on Instagram and posting a picture of a private... I'm obsessed with every element of this story. It's almost difficult to disentangle what I'm most obsessed with. So the bare bones of it are Morgan Wallen's the musical guest on Saturday Night Live on Saturday. He then breaks with the broad protocol of the show, which is the musical guest stays on stage with the host and all of the cast and does the good nights. He walks off during the credits. He then goes to his private jet, which presumably is not on a fixed schedule, so there was no temporal excuse for him
there.
To leave. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He then posts a picture of it, and the caption that says, "Get me to God's country." He then now, as of, I believe, this morning, is selling hats and T-shirts on his official website with the viral quote, "Get me to God's country" on them. And to me, the reason that I think this makes me incredibly online is, before 2 days ago had never heard of Morgan Wallen. Mm-hmm. And now he feels like the most important character in my life because he's intersected with my interests, which are SNL and comedy. And so the fact that he walked, like, even I know, even British people know, you don't walk off during the good nights. You stand there, you wave for about, I think, a minute and a half.
Yeah, the credits, and, for the length of the credits.
Right. It's a show that's been out for 50 years. They celebrated 50 years this this spring.
Everybody knows for half a century, you do the same thing. But the thing that I think is so, like, the idea that people are now selling merch based on posts is like, It's the end game. We're all in just a kind of like a sort of existential internet nightmare.
Everything's merch.
Going back to also the idea that he's like, I got to go back to God's country. Obviously, that's incredibly condescending and patronizing. But also within that, this like guy where he's like, I need to go back to like the real America via private jet.
Right.
Is just
also, I believe you went to Nashville, which is country music Hollywood. Like that's God, I guess.
I went to Nashville for the first time about 3 weeks ago. I had a very fun time doing a tour show there. I went to Broadway. I will say, God has not touched that place in a long time.
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
And I do mean this as a full insult. The most British place I've ever been to in America. Because if you take away the trappings of country music, which is popular in Britain, but not to the same extent, the behavior of the people on Broadway, I have never felt more at home in America in my entire life. Just people drunkenly fighting with each other on a Wednesday night. It really, I'd like to thank the whoever it was that got drunk and had a fight in Nashville for making me and my partner feel like we were in London.
Yeah,
like
there but for the threat of gunfire, it could be London.
Yeah. There's a lot less street vomiting. I'll say that much for it.
I feel like it's like if London, there was just 50% more bachelorette parties.
No, again, that is what, there's parts of London that specifically devoted. Mm. And it's like being in the Purge, like all the normal rules of society are abandoned. It's like Amsterdam in The Wire for human decency.
Can I ask a question? Oh, Amsterdam. A lovely reference. Can I ask a question? Has there been any reporting that anyone was rude to Morgan Wallen?
No.
Did anything go wrong for him that he felt...
He was just too close to some homos.
I know, but I don't want... I don't want to... I don't want to jump to that obvious conclusion, but it's like, was it just being around the now gayified SNL, where now we have like real representation at long last in this medium?
Yeah.
And that was just too much?
Because I think, unfortunately, yes.
It obviously is not important, but it's like, it's so rude. Like, it's so cool to be on SNL. It's such like so many musicians and bands would kill for the opportunity. It's the opportunity of a lifetime for so many people.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you spend the week with these people and then you
agreed
just,
to go on.
You agreed to go
you
on.
You signed up for this.
And then you just like want to publicly be rude. Like walking off is a way to publicly be rude and then post getting back to God's country, which again, like I don't totally understand as a phrase. Presumably, if you're Christian, you would believe that.
I think it's the homos. I think, unfortunately, that's it.
Is God?
Oh, yeah,
not
New York
everywhere?
Is godless. No. They think that
it's like
the Warriors over in New
isn't
York.
What was it? I think there's a 30 Rock joke where they call it Sex Criminal Boat or something like in Kenneth Parcells' hometown in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Like, I think the problem with the way that he's left and the fact that he's put back to God's country is the whole thing reeks of, I was around a lot of people, and I don't want to blow anyone's mind here, but some of them weren't white. And I think even some of them might also have been people that were homosexuals. Like, it's very difficult. I know we don't want to all boil it down to that, but it's very difficult to not boil it down to
that. Well, I think it is that just because he has not issued a statement clarifying. If it wasn't that, he could just say like, oh, yeah, no, sorry, I was just
in a rush to get back to my plane.
Or like referencing a song that's coming out. Like he could have said anything to clarify it and he didn't. And my thing that I don't like about it is that this merch is obviously like, it looks like the most ChatGPT merch. Yeah. Like to me, it's like that's AI. They like pooped it out. It's ugly. It's very generic. Ugh. And they immediately start mass producing it, I'm sure, like the worst quality. So it's not even like, oh, okay, that's a funny thing that people like caught on and we had somebody draw something up. It's nothing.
Well, and also, so Kenan Thompson gave an interview after this all happened, and he did say it was weird. He they didn't seem to be, he suggested that there was no inference that something had happened in the week that would cause him to be upset. And he said that he definitely saw it when he prematurely departed. And he said it was all sort of weird. But then he said, I thought maybe he had to go to the potty or something, which is like a line you can easily imagine in Keenan's voice. But yeah, there was no inference. He'd refused to be part of a pre-taped sketch. And apparently they replaced him with one of the Jonas Brothers. But the report is that he was reportedly supposed to be in a pre-taped musical sketch and he declined to be in it. But other than that, there doesn't seem to have been any kind of particular fight about it. But I just think the grift of these people, like to post something and then almost immediately right. have merch ready to go on it. That like it shows you the transparency of all, like how little any of this means to any of them. And everything now is just a grift and a way to sell merch. Like there's absolutely no love or art or anything behind any of this. It's literally just, we're going to be dicks and then we're going to do a grift based on posts.
And the whole cycle just feels very Trump 1.0.
Yeah.
He didn't get the memo of how crazy MAGA is now and just like being passive aggressive, walking off posting on your Instagram stories, like actually very soft and kind of bitch made. Like you can just go on and just like criticize these people now and have the full culture war fight. But like, no, he's just kind of very sensitive to, we can't really articulate. We just have to speculate.
There's also just like a lack of like gratitude, not even just to SNL, but like who cares about that, but like just in a broader way to like, to get to be a famous musician is such a lucky thing. And it reminds me of this, it's like somebody's joke about Paul Newman and like the path every famous person's career takes, which is, who's Paul Newman? Get me Paul Newman. Get me a Paul Newman type. Get me a young Paul Newman. Who's Paul Newman? And like, that's the path everyone takes. And like, okay, great. You're in your big moment. Like, what did you do with it?
Right.
Like, you acted like a little bitch.
And also, it's like to have, like, it, like you said, like the most soft life. Like, it's like you, this is not a problem. You're creating an issue that doesn't exist because you have no problems, which to me is very conservative in terms of like, we have to exist. And by we, I mean anyone who's not conservative. We have to be, they're confronting our existence or New York's existence in order to storm off and sell merch.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for New York or SNL, then what would the merch be? It's like you don't have anything without the resistance that you've created in your mind.
Yeah. It's also a weird thing to be like, oh, I've got to get out of this place whose like iconic television show invited me to do a performance after, which again, I didn't realize at the time. He was scheduled to perform in 2020.
Oh, yes, I remember
until that some footage emerged of him breaking COVID-19 protocols. And he was, his appearance was like, I think it was like canceled and then they came back to it. So like, it is weird that there's like, this is an organization and an institution that is showing you like a huge amount of like leeway. And, you know, it just seemed like such an incredibly petulant thing to do. Yeah. But then when he starts selling the merch, you realize like literally everything is a grift. Like these people wake up every morning and all they can think about is what is the next grift. And you're like, we're like all being dragged into hell by a group of people whose only interest is to try and sell hats.
And I
Nish is a one.
Yeah, that's a one. You saw the biggest culture story of the week.
This is on people.com. It's not online. Yeah.
My only argument for this being an online thing is I literally had never heard of Morgan Wallen until I saw a picture of him on Twitter looking like he didn't understand how cameras work.
We're not saying you weren't a zero when you found the story.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You were healthy and fine. And now you just have a... What is a one? Is it like a headache?
No, you're fine. No, one is, you're fine.
Oh, okay.
A passing headache. You got a little dirt in your eye, maybe.
Yeah.
So you had to blink it out.
I think zero is somebody printed a tweet and pushed it into the middle of the book.
That's
that you
the
were
dream.
Reading.
That's yeah, how that's right. how Meghan Markle interacts with the internet. Just a printed out binder of tweets for her to look through.
All right. So Nish is a one.
We'll be right back with more Love It or Leave It. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Viya. If you haven't tried Viya yet, you're seriously missing out. Whether you need to unwind, refocus, or just pretend you have your life together, Viya is here to enhance your everyday. And let's be honest, probably your night too. 500,000 happy customers can't be wrong. Viya is changing the game. in natural wellness, combining high-quality hemp-derived ingredients with powerful cannabinoids to create real, effect-driven results. Want better sleep, more focus, a little boost in the bedroom, or maybe you just need to chill out because you're boosting the bedroom.
Yeah, just throw that right in.
Wow. Or maybe you just need to chill out because your stress levels are currently at screaming into the void status. Whatever you need, Viya has a solution for you. And here's the best part. Viya lets you customize your experience. Whether you're looking for daily wellness, laser focus, or deep relaxation, Viya has it. What if you're someone screaming into the void in the bedroom? With products ranging from zero to high cannabinoid levels, they've got options for everybody. We're talking award-winning effect-forward gummies to calming drops, all made with organic, lab-tested hemp from trusted independent American farms. And you don't have to jump through hoops or get some weird doctor's note. Viya legally ships nationwide discreetly. No medical card required, no sketchy parking lot meetups. Okay.
Weird.
Yeah, just straight to your door with a worry-free guarantee. Not sure where to start? No worries. Viya has a product finder quiz that will hook you up with a perfect match in less than 60 seconds. So if you're 21 plus, check out the link to Viya in our description and use the code LOVEIT to receive 15% off free shipping on orders over $100. And if you're new to Viya, get a free gift of your choice. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Enhance your everyday with Viya.
All right, let's get to mine. I was too online this week when I decided I wanted to zero in after Ashton Hall, that crazy morning routine video, on something that I'm going to call the Fancy Dog Male Treatler Retreat. Now, this is
You're calling it that? Okay.
I'm calling it that.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's, you know, Ashton Hall and a lot of these like male, like get ready with me things or what I like to call fancy dog content, because it's just like if men were like fancy poodles that like get, you know, like froofed and all that kind of thing.
Pampered.
This is specific content for high priced retreats where men get together and like eat steak and like do cold plunges and like don't suck each other off. But, like maybe like
why not a little bit? Come on.
Let me play an example.
Join me as I host my first men's retreat, Design Your Life. The intention was simple yet profound, helping men live life by design rather than by default. We gathered at an incredible 5-acre property just outside Austin. It offered space and solitude, creating the perfect container for deep transformational work. Each day began with meditation, followed by workouts, immersive workshops, and 5-star meals prepared by our on-site private chef. We also had surprise guest speakers and unique experiences that added to the magic of the weekend. The breakthroughs, belief shifts, and aha moments were truly inspiring, not just for the guys, but for me as well. Witnessing these transformations reminded me of the incredible power of presence and intention. There were no distractions.
All right, we get it, we get it, we get it. So I don't want to shit on this one too much in particular, because this is actually like a relatively non-toxic example of the genre. My point is that this is actually a genre, and the staples of this genre are men getting together with men in a secluded location, sobriety, prepared meals made by a quote-unquote private chef. That's not necessarily true. Often these meals are very meat-heavy, meditation and journaling, working out, and cold plunges. Now, this sounds like a nightmare to me, getting together with a bunch of randos being totally sober and talking about our life goals, but it's a whole little industry. The mother of all fancy dog male treatler retreats is something called the Bali Time Chamber. And I would love for you guys to take a look at the Bali Time Chamber.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
No veganism, no women, no distractions, no smoking, no drugs, no video games, no laziness, no partying, no procrastination, no hookups, no toxic relationships, no scrolling, no Netflix. When you enter the Bali Time Chamber, the only thing to do is work on yourself, train consistently, eat premium meat, do sauna, walk to the waterfalls, reconnect with nature, build new habits, read books, do ice bath, meditate, exchange knowledge, learn new skills, get in your best shape ever, and network with other like-minded men. This place is something different. It's a sanctuary for men to grow. Would you go there?
Well, would you?
First of all, a lot. Of course I would. But the
yeah, 100%.
So I was at
the Bali Time Chamber.
I was at the Bali Time Chamber.
No, that's the last time I saw Love It.
I was at
Netflix.
I love describing it as like exchanging knowledge. I mean, having a conversation. You're talking about having a conversation.
Yes.
But I was at this dinner and somebody ordered a skinny margarita, and it was a bunch of women at the table. And one of them was saying, like, I feel so bad ordering a skinny margarita. I feel silly saying that. I wish we had another name for it. And somebody at the table said, oh, we should call them clean margaritas instead of skinny margaritas. And we were talking about it that, like, a skinny margarita is girl-coded, but clean, eating clean is more guy-coded. It's a way of being on a diet. It's Coke Zero versus Diet Coke.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And, like, what you just showed has existed for women forever. It's called Canyon Ranch. It is a fancy resort that you go to, and you're given a certain amount of healthy food. You do spa. Mm-hmm. You do exercise and sauna.
No Netflix.
Sadly.
HBO Max and Hulu available.
Yeah, probably for sure. I don't know what the smart TV situation is these days. But it's just so funny to have to, like, you know, it's like pH balanced. Strong enough for a man, but pH balanced for a woman, but like in reverse. Because it's just like, you want to go to a spa for the weekend with the boys?
Yeah, lift some weights. What I want to know with that first one, it's like, what are the aha moments and what is the transformation?
Yeah.
Like, I would love to know what you walk away from more connected to, or what your thinking is. Because seeing this, I'm like, oh, it's like a fun vacation. I'd go to the Bali Time Chamber.
Hell yeah.
But it wouldn't be for a it wouldn't be like, oh, I'm going to spiritually or psychologically change. It would be like, I get everything else. But the idea that these are sites of deep masculine change, that's, I guess, I don't know what that means.
It's a lie.
Oh, yes.
I'll tell you what wasn't mentioned in either of those two adverts is an hour speaking to a trained therapist.
Like, well, right. Yeah.
I would love for one of those adverts just to go, oh, and by the way, there's an hour where a kind person says it wasn't your fault that your daddy never hugged you. Anyway, like, it's the, like, I listen, there is a crisis of masculinity. It's there's this huge thing where men are being radicalized by these, like, online charlatans. We probably do need to have a conversation about men and the way men are behaving, but I don't think we will achieve that through the Bali Time Chamber.
Well, also, like, God knows how much it is. That's like a $15,000. I mean, like, who knows how much
you're
paying?
Do tell. I submitted my email and I got the literature. You know, so it's actually surprisingly cheap to go to the Bali Time Chamber.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, why are we
it's
there?
About $1,400 a week.
Wow.
Like, okay.
Wow.
That's not bad at all.
Love Bali Time Chamber. Love it. Let's do corporate retreat.
The corporate retreat with the Bali Time Chamber. No women. But that's the other part of this too, which is like, I don't know what problems these men have, but I am sure it will not be solved until they have a healthy relationship with women.
Yeah.
Even in that second video where it says the phrase build habits, can't do that in a weekend. You actually can't do that.
Yes. Yeah.
That's not how habits work. These people are not transforming.
You don't fucking get it, dude. The Bali Time Chamber, one day in the Bali Time Chamber is equal to 1 year.
Oh, is that the time part?
Bali Time Chamber.
Wow.
So it's like the beach from old.
It's like the beach from old. It's actually like based on the hyperbolic time chamber from Dragon Ball Z, according to the literature.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. Hold on a second. It's actually inspired by fucking Dragon Ball Z, the show that people my age watched while stoned out of their minds in college.
Are you joking?
Are you fucking kidding me?
I thought that was
totally
a joke.
Seriously.
I thought that was a joke.
It's in the brochure that I got sent to my email.
Shut it down.
Here's another thing they don't mention, Nish, besides therapy. They don't mention in either the one from Austin where they go to the Airbnb that we first watched or the Bali Time Chamber that it's shared bathrooms. So if you get diarrhea,
amount of steak is an absolute nightmare.
Exactly. So let's watch the last video, which is a video that I got of someone going to the Bali Time Chamber.
Okay.
And then I kind of want to make a point that plays to what you guys are saying about what you actually learn from these.
Today was my last full day at the Bali Time Chamber. Here's how it looked. Woke up at 4:45 as always, followed by my non-negotiables, which are hydration, goals, gratitude, stretching, and visualization. I also knocked out a cold plunge. After that, I jumped into a 5,000 feet of elevation. Came home to BTC, did some breath work with the other guys, and then after the breath work, while we were all very focused, we did some visualization. I had 6 eggs, rice, tomatoes, baby potatoes, and coffee for breakfast. Then I jumped into 2 hours of deep work in the morning. At 12, I knocked out a push day. I didn't actually get any clips of the push day, but here's some clips of me doing muscle ups. After that, I had lunch, a steak, some fish, shrimp, potatoes. Since today was my last day, I really wanted to go back to the waterfall. So at 2 p.m., we went to one of the waterfalls just 10 minutes away from from the Bali Time Chamber. I came home, did some more work, then had this massive Bali Time Chamber special burger for dinner. After that, I did my reflection journaling, said bye to all the people that I met, as well as all the amazing staff, did a few tasks on my computer that I had to do, and then went to bed. Next chapter of my life is going to be moving to Miami, dialing in and building a business that's going to change the lives of hundreds of men. If you guys want to keep up with my journey, follow my page for more.
Sounds
like a threat.
Yeah, it's, his business is a window washing company, so I'm not exactly
sure. Is that actually what it is?
Yes, and just so you know, if you read the caption to his Instagram, he says in all caps, "I love growth," which really just cracked me up.
I will say, but like, if that's your deal, like if that's what you're excited about, I think it's actually very, it's like cool to be passionate about. Like it is.
Yeah.
If what you're excited about is like, I'm going to move to Miami and I'm going to start this business. I'm going to hire a lot of people. I'm really going to build something. Like, I think that that's like a beautiful thing. The thing that made, like, you see that fucking influencer do that 4.5 hour morning routine, which it only is possible if there's nothing that can disturb your routine. You have no obligations, you have no responsibilities, and there's an off-camera woman handing you bowls of ice. And like, if that, like, the challenge of life is doing those good things for yourself, gym, eating well, doing your whatever tasks, while also caring about other people and understanding that life is hard and there's things that get in the way. Like, yeah, it's not hard. You can journal when you're at the Bali Time Chamber.
Yeah.
But like, are you going to be journaling when you're down there in Miami? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. It strikes me as kind of like a multi-level marketing, like an emerging multi-level marketing system for men where you're always making content about how you're a fancy dog. And part of it is now you go to this retreat where you're really a fancy dog. And you're constantly convincing people through more content about how you went to your retreat, about how fancy of a dog you are. And people should always be listening to you about how you're a fancy dog and you're getting higher up.
Well,
the pyramid.
Right. It's when your money, it's when your money comes from videos about how you're a fancy dog. Like, how do you afford to be a fancy dog? By showing people the ways in which I'm a fancy dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's also
I would totally fucking go to the Bali Time Chamber.
Well, sure.
Honest.
Of course.
It looks fucking awesome.
Should Kirk cover it? Not for Elijah, but for you.
Yeah.
I
think it'd be good.
I just think with all the stuff about like we need more spaces to discuss masculinity, I do think that the solution to this is not further secluding men from women. That's the thing that rubs me up the wrong way with a lot of this stuff is like, half of the problems we're facing are men are disappearing into these like all male online worlds that divorce them from the reality of society, which is half of the people in it are women. And you need to learn, like, I just think that everything about it, I don't know, maybe it's just a personal prejudice for me, but whenever I look at those videos, I was like, I do not want to be stuck in a remote retreat with a bunch of guys that used to beat me up at school. Like, that is, it looks like my worst fucking nightmare.
Well, it is funny, the Bali Time Chamber versus the other one is like a downstream thing from like the Joe Rogan, Andrew Tate, Maha masculinity, where like it's not enough to just want to go and better yourself like the first one. Like it's a grievance-based bettering yourself. Women, no vegans. Yeah. Like that's a part of the marketing. All right, we're getting late on time here. How online am I? I have so much to say about this that I feel like I'm more online, but we'll stop here. I got the literature sent to my fucking email. I'm going to be getting a lot of Bali time.
Oh, yeah, they got your ass.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going, so I think you're a four. I think you're a four.
Absolutely.
Elijah, I want you to know something. You had asked me, like, do you know what this is? And I couldn't have told you what the name is, but I have 100% been served these videos.
Well, yes, I think if like, you're a man, you're getting it. I'm getting slightly less so now that I'm a lesbian. But, like, the white woman's version of it, I actually know someone from my college who changed her name and opened one in Ojai. And I believe hers is 3 days long for $5,000. So it's like, it is the equal amount. It's like I will go on vacation and I will be healed. It's a healing vacation. But it's strictly gendered.
It used to be we call it a jump start. You know, and you could get that, at least you could get away with it. You're going for a jump start. I'm going to jump start my diet. I'm going to jump start my health. I'm going to jump start my thing. But now it's like, I'm going to go through a transformation. No, you are not.
Is that because this vacation just seems too
faggy?
Gay? Yeah, I didn't want
to. I don't want to reduce everything to this, but it is literally like all I think when I watch these videos is, as capitalism decays around us, the system is not delivering what it needs to for individuals. Like, you can't make enough money from your job, so you have to have, like, a second job. Your house is unaffordable. Everything in your life is increasingly expensive. And now the solution to that is to give a different private company more of your money to settle down the mental health crisis that are brewing by living in the consequences of a collapsing economic system. Like, it is so evidence to me that everything about this is like late stage capitalism crisis.
At least you're jacked. At least the end of the world, you're fucking ripped, man.
The late stage capitalism, though, it's actually, here's the thing. Yeah, I think it's like not.
We've always done this.
Capitalism is thriving. It's that it's gotten so good at capitalism has gotten so good at capitalism that it is chewing us up and spitting us out. And we are all like, all of this is about maximizing, right? Maximizing your time. Like, you're like very, was anything in that video about being happier?
You're absolutely right.
To get extra deep off Nish's point, like, it's about control after like a global pandemic, political upheaval. You can control your non-negotiables in the morning, your hydration, your gratitude, like that, like your breathing, you know, like that kind of thing. And so, no, it's not about happiness. It's just like clinging on to this little bit of shit you can control, which is like being a fancy dog.
There wasn't one bit of the video where anyone was laughing.
No, it's not a laughing matter. Transformation is no laughing, and laughing is gay. No straws either. No straws. Yeah, so no chicken. No chicken. That's a red meat trip.
I love being a regular dude who's just loves a drink and has a couple of friends who like to have a little drink. Okay. Just have a little drink. Okay. Love it. Be an alcoholic like your forefathers. Love it was A2. Don't be an alcoholic.
Don't be an alcoholic.
Let's recap. God, the Bali Time Chamber made everyone a little crazy. Okay. Love it was a 2. Mm-hmm. He's got the sniffles for Meghan Markle's one pop pasta. Mm-hmm. Hallie was a 3. She needs to go to the doctor for winter boots and gaming the TikTok algorithm to tell people the news. Love it got a side 4 for knowing the winter boots trend. Nish is a 1. He got a little piece of dirt in his eye for Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, you
got
to up your game here,
on
Nish.
SNL.
Yeah.
And I was a 4. I'm in the hospital for the Bali Time Chamber.
You're at the Bali Time Chamber.
Yeah.
I'm at the Bali Time Chamber. God,
he's got a heel.
Once you go in, you never come out, though.
I love to make fun of the Bali Time Chamber, and I would totally go to
absolutely.
The Bali
it looks
Time
great.
Chamber.
It looks great.
All right, we are at time. We'll skip over Q&As, but normally it shows Q&As from our Discord subscribers. Go sign up for Friends of the Pod. Get that 30-day free trial. Get ad-free, love it or leave it, and so much more.
What were the questions? Elijah, what were the questions?
Well, the question wants to know what Nish's favorite part of is coming to America, and have you ever gotten in a public altercation that you're willing to share? We could do either of those. They're from our Discord subscribers. Subscribe for the Discord.
Mm. Well, we kind of hit your first one.
My favorite thing about touring in the States, the shows were great. And also, I am playing chicken with gout every single day.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in America.
Yeah.
From the second, America.
I had a brief respite in Canada. But every day in America, I am playing chicken with gout.
You coming to America is like me going to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
In terms of food.
No, it's like, no rules, just you, right.
This whole country is one big fucking cheese curd deep fried bonanza for you. And for me, I see gradations because I live here that you can't see. But for you, LA, Milwaukee, one big fondue.
The thing that I'd never been to the South at all, and the Southern states in America share the South of India's deep love of okra. And so I have been in absolute okra heaven. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Deep fried okra is crazy. I went to a fried chicken place in Atlanta and had like a side of deep fried. I went to one place in, I went to a place in Portland and I had, it was like a kind of Southern invitation place. But so maybe that's why I got the judgment. Because when I was actually in the South and I ate a portion of okra, it was not remarked upon. But in Portland, when I ate some invitation okra, the waiter actually said to me, you know, normally that's a portion for 3 people.
Okay. Take off your judge's robe.
But yeah, so my side issue is my favorite thing about touring is understanding that the Southern states share the love of okra that the Indian community shares.
That's
and
beautiful.
It's like my treat food from when I was a kid. So I had that was the real highlight.
That's nice.
That's awesome. All right, love it. You want to take us away? Thank you for letting us on the Love It or Leave It feed.
That concludes our special crossover episode of Love It or Leave It on our subscription-only show, Terminally Online. There's another Terminally Online out today just for subscribers. So much content. Subscribe to Friends of the Pod now to get ad-free Love It or Leave It, ad-free Pod Save America, exclusive shows like Terminally Online and Dan Pfeiffer's show Polar Coaster, and so much more. It's the best way to support what we do here at Crooked Media as we try to build a progressive counterweight to right-wing media. Boy, do we need one of those. Holy shit. The fulcrum on the counterweight's fucked right now.
It is kind of just you guys. I don't mean to say it like that, but you know, I read the news, I'm like, whoa. This guy?
Don't tell Midas that.
And remember, for the month of April, you can get a 30-day free trial. Just go to crooked.com/friends or sign up through the Apple Podcast feed to get started. Thank you, Nish. Thank you, Hallie.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you, Elijah.
Thanks, everyone.
See you, sluts, next week.
R.I.P. Val Kilmer.
R.I.P. Val Kilmer. Yeah. Pouring out for a real one. Love it or leave it. It's love it or leave it. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Elaine Pierre, Will Miles, and Mohamed El-Sheikhi are our writers. Evan Sutton is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. And Milo Kim is our videographer. Our theme song is written and performed by Sure Sure. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Kaderna-Reeves, for creating and running all of our visuals that you can't see because this is a podcast, and to our digital producers, David Tolos, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, and Matt DeGroat for filming and editing videos each week so you can, and our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East. It's love it or leave it. Love it or leave it. It's love it or leave it.